knowing your position financially is huge, whether you're going to be leveraging, because some of the most important stuff in this competitive market, if you're not ready to get an offer in less than 24 hours once you see something that you like, I mean, you don't have a good lending partner or, you know, the finances figured out, you're going to miss out on deals.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Birmingham Real Estate Investor Podcast. I am your host, Spencer Sutton, and I've got a co-host with me today. I know that everybody's going to be excited to hear from Hunter Terran. Hunter, welcome to the show.
Spencer, thank you. It's a pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
So let me just go ahead and tell you a little bit about Hunter. Hunter has been with our company since August. I think it was August last year. And he came, was that right, Hunter?
It was July 19th.
July 19th, good. And he joined us as in a position we call Business Development Manager or BDM. And he is essentially a salesperson. So what Hunter does all day long is he talks to investors just like you. All right. So he fields calls, he fields questions. He is giving people advice. He's got a lot of great experience and he's helped a lot of people out. And so, Hunter, let me just ask you, and you may not know this because I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this question, but from July when you started until now, how many, and we're just talking however many months, how many investors have you helped sign up? So how many doors have you signed on to Evernest?
It's got to be over a couple hundred. Just looked at this the other day. Okay. So up until, 270 as of today, 270 doors.
So 270 doors. So he's talked to, so just think about that. You know, obviously he's onboarding or he's helping investors with multiple properties, but also investors with one or two properties. And he's also speaking with a lot of investors who haven't even bought properties yet, right? I mean, I know that you field those calls every day. Is that right, Hunter?
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah. All day, every day, multiple times a day, we get calls from folks who are exploring this market, who are exploring other markets, just getting started. You know, I like to say we've got something for everybody, no matter where you are in your investment journey, whether it is you've never purchased a property before, you're just starting to dive into, you know, bigger pockets and education resources, our podcasts, you know, or if you're experienced, you've got larger properties, 40, 50 so far, and you're trying to double that, we can help. And so I really enjoy it. It's been a ton of fun.
Well, I will just say this, Hunter's one of the best that we have. And so I've been doing it for over 7.5 years, and I've had hundreds upon hundreds, maybe even thousands of conversations with investors like the ones who are listening to this podcast now. So what we thought we would do today is Hunter and I thought, well, you know, what's some really good information we can give? So we thought, why don't we talk about the top questions that investors are asking when they're calling us? Like, these are investors who have decided to take the next step. So they're kind of through the process of learning and they're ready to start taking action. So one of the first things that investors typically do when they're ready to take action is they pick up a phone and start calling and start kind of making connections and start plotting out, hey, you know, what they're going to do. Sometimes they bring us investment properties and say, hey, I'm going to make an offer on this deal, on this property. What do you think about it? Sometimes they just want to know about a neighborhood or whatever. So we're going to talk about the top questions that Hunter's hearing and that I've heard in the past as we talk to investors. And then after we get through these, we are going to talk about the questions that investors should be asking. Questions that investors typically don't ask, but should be asking. And so we want you to make sure you listen to this entire podcast. We don't know how long it's going to be. We think we have a lot of material. So it could be a part A, part B, who knows, but we're going to talk about that. And then if you found this helpful at all, I would love to ask you to leave us a 5-star review. Make sure you comment. It helps other investors like you find the podcast. And yeah, it's just super helpful. So let's kick it off.
If we can make this, I'll ask the crowd, if we can make this the most listened to podcast, that would be awesome. Maybe Spencer will invite me to some more. So yeah, I appreciate that.
So let me just go ahead and point something out about Hunter. There he is. There's already a pretty much competitive spirit coming out in Hunter. He wants to have the most listened to podcast. So I'm okay with that. Let's do it. And absolutely, if we record a good one here, you'll most definitely be joining us on other ones. So let's kick it off. I mean, Hunter, you're the one that's been talking to these investors most recently. I'm a little bit out of the loop in the conversations. Let's kick it off. What are some questions that investors are asking that you think are good questions?
Yeah, I'd say whether it's a brand new investor or someone that already has a solid portfolio together, everyone has questions about Birmingham. And it's, so we usually start a conversation talking about, you know, Birmingham. I always like to ask the question myself, hey, what attracted you to the Birmingham market? What brought you here? But I get that same question back almost every time is, well, you know, these are the reasons I like Birmingham, or that I, you know, how I found it. But what are some of the things you're seeing? What are some trends in Birmingham? Why should I invest in Birmingham? So that's a big question that I get from investors, new and old, or new and experienced.
So do you think that you have like investors? I'm imagining, because I've talked to so many investors from California, from New York, from Florida. I'm imagining these folks out in California are looking, they're like Birmingham, Alabama, and they're thinking dirt roads, horse and carriage. What do you think comes to mind when people think Birmingham? Why are they asking you why Birmingham?
Yeah, I mean, so I grew up in Florida, so Clearwater, Tampa area, you know, shout out the 727. But and I thought the same thing. So we moved up here last year. My wife started her residency at UAB, which is the 8th largest hospital in the country, by the way. And I knew nothing about Birmingham. I was like, Birmingham who? And when we got here, it has been a pleasant surprise, Spencer. And to everybody out there, if you haven't visited Birmingham, it's a really neat city. We're having a blast here. There is a ton of activities. It's got, you know, great employer, and it's really just a special market. So I think I imagine a lot of investors feel the same. You know, they're sent to it, to the city, just by some of the research, some of the other notes out there from other investors. But they're like, what is it about this little city, you know, the little sister to Atlanta, that makes it so we you know, I think that's what really drives people's interest here.
So what do you typically talk about when an investor says, well, you know, I've heard about Birmingham, I've heard about cash flow, you can buy good cash flowing properties, but really, is Birmingham a good place to invest? What kind of answers are you giving them? Like, what are you pointing them to? I heard you mention employers. So we've got a great economy. Like, again, you mentioned UAB Hospital. It is definitely one of the nation's top hospitals, especially from a training standpoint. What else about Birmingham?
Yeah, so it is, you know, I'd say what kind of the thing that's most attractive is, I mean, the values here, that it's a very low entry point. I mean, you could, especially for the folks, I talked to so many people from California, New York, Florida, like you said, Israel, I mean, anywhere out west. It's going to be crazy expensive, as most of y'all know. But Birmingham, you know, you can still find homes under 100,000 that cash flow well. So I'd say the majority of folks that are really love Birmingham like the cash flow. But there's also these underlying factors that make it such a good market. The unemployment you mentioned. I mean, not just UAB and UAB, the teaching hospital. You know, to your point, it's not just a big hospital. And there's a ton of other medical campuses around here, but UAB is a teaching. So you've got the physicians, you've got the nurses, you've got travel nurses, you've got the support staff, the admin, you know, and all the ancillary business that comes of it. But I mean, Regions Bank, it is the headquarters for Regions Bank. You've got Honda, you've got Amazon, you know, plants, a Mercedes plant not too far away from Bessemer. So a lot of like good high-end blue collar, you know, low and white collar jobs that it's actually one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country. So it is an excellent market. Yeah, it's, I think, 3.1% right now. Property taxes are super low in Alabama. It starts as a base here at 0.42%. Of course, you know, city, municipality tax on a little bit, but it's still very, very low. So it kind of helps with that inflation and interest rate increase we're seeing. And I say the other big thing is diversity of properties. You know, there's just a lot to be had here. If you're someone that's looking for the A and B class properties, you've got it. If you're someone that's looking in, you know, the largest pool, I'd say would be looking in the C class. There's a really strong base of C class properties here. And then, of course, if you're a little more risk tolerant, then you can jump into the D's. And I mean, there's stuff even below that. So, you know, good diversity, good unemployment, low values, good entry point for a lot of investors.
Yeah. You know, Matthew and I have talked a lot on this podcast. Plus, we have another podcast called the Evernest Real Estate Investor Podcast. And it's more like it has a lot we're looking at a lot of different cities, but something we've always said about Birmingham, and I was raised here in Birmingham. Matthew was raised here in Birmingham. Something we always say is like, it is what we feel the South's best kept secret. Like when people come here, they absolutely love it. As a matter of fact, I interviewed on this podcast a couple of months ago, I had Jonathan Mednick. He's from New York, and he moved here to Birmingham and fell in love with Birmingham and has like decided, hey, this is where I'm going to do business, where I'm going to build a real estate portfolio, real estate company. And so we see that once people come here and we're able to show them around and point them in the right direction, they absolutely fall in love with it.
Little known fact, Atlanta, the Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, the international airport in Atlanta, the busiest one in the world, they offered that airport to Birmingham, and the city turned it down long ago. But that it could have really been, I mean, it's always back, before the Great Depression, Birmingham was growing faster than Atlanta. So there's just tons of history here. There's a bunch of industry. It's like the only place in the world you can find all three ingredients for iron ore. And so, yeah, it's just an excellent, excellent history and market to be in.
So talk about now. So there's some other things that people love about Birmingham. Do you want to talk about kind of the food and beverage scene?
Yeah, so this actually relates back to another question. I had jotted this down. I get this now even more than I did 6 months ago. But is it, can you do a short-term rental here? Like, what about short-term rentals, Airbnb? Gotcha. I've got some folks, getting into that. But and in the past, and I've asked a bunch of people because I haven't been here forever, but it really hasn't been a very strong short-term rental market or vacation rental market. And so the question I like to ask, Spencer, is when someone says, is it good for short-term? Well, have you ever been to Birmingham?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is usually, no. If it's a remote investor who's never been here, they can invest here successfully, but they've never, stepped foot. And that's fine. And then I say, well, why haven't you been to Birmingham? And that's the answer. It's like, well, there's nothing really.
Well, I've never had a need. Here. I've never had a need to go to Birmingham, right?
Yeah. What's in Birmingham? So it kind of links back to the old question. But, it presently, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on here that's really driving interest and some of this more, first of all, I'm pitching to every one of my family and friends to come visit, and we'll host them, we'll show them around. We got a whole itinerary that we do. We go to the Vulcan statue, take them to the botanical gardens. But the food here is the biggest highlight. In fact, Spencer, there's a magazine, and I'm going to butcher this pronunciation, so I'm sorry for that are listening to this, but it's Condé Nast. I think it's French, Conde. NAS, real popular travel magazine. Spencer doesn't read much, so he wouldn't know, but it highlighted. So at the end of last year, they said they had an article, the 22 places you have to visit in 2022. Now, keep in mind, this is it's an article about global locations all around the world. Number one on the list was Birmingham. I don't think they had it in particular order, but it was all about the food. So Birmingham, wow. Alabama, in this global, renowned magazine, is now featured for their food. And I guess, huge influence from the James Beard Awards. If you're a foodie, you know what that is. Tons of amazing restaurants. Beham Now, this good local magazine that does some stuff on social media. So Beham Now would have all the news on new restaurants, bars opening, activities, entertainment in the area. And I mean, every week there's a new restaurant opening. Amazing food here. You could literally spend an entire weekend or a week here and just go on a food tour.
Yeah, we have a teammate actually who visited us from Austin, Texas. So he lives in Austin, Texas. He works remote for us. He's one of our content creators. If you've ever received an email from us, his name is Lucas Wolfschlager. So you'll see his name. But that's one of the things that he had heard about Birmingham. He was like, from Austin, which is super cultured, he came here and he's like, man, there's so many great restaurants. And I just pulled up a Beham Now article online, Hunter, and was looking at this. We have in Birmingham, we have over 60 nominees and winners of the James Beard Award. Over 60 nominees and winners. So the highlights are Hot and Hot Fish Club. Chef Chris Hastings won Best Chef in the South 2012. Rodney Scott with Rodney Scott's Barbecue, Best Chef in the Southeast 2018. Dolster Miles from Highlands Bar and Grill won Outstanding Pastry Chef 2018. And then Frank Stitt with Highlands Bar and Grill, Most Outstanding Restaurant in America 2018. So those are the winners, and we've got tons of other nominees. And so awesome.
Yeah. If you ever come visit us, we'll take you over to Roddy Scott's location here in Homewood. I love El Barrio downtown. Probably the best. I could eat Mexican food every day, but if I got to eat El Barrio every day, I would be a king. And Helen is another one. Helen's like, they do like family styles, really. And that was featured in that magazine article that I mentioned. So yeah, I mean, great food. And, you know, back to the question about short-term rentals. I mean, there's some interesting stuff going on here too. I think most everyone has heard of the World Games. If you haven't, check it out. It's a riot. It's all the sports that didn't quite make it into the Olympics, and it is Olympics affiliated, but you've got sports like extreme rock climbing. That's what I call it, because they run up that mountain so fast. They've got breakdancing, rollerblading, probably basket weaving, sumo wrestling, you know, all kinds of fun stuff. And that's going to be here in July. It's getting crazy. They're starting to put up all the banners, and going to be some venues all around town. The USFL, right?
Yeah, we got a new team. We got a new team.
Yeah. So they tried this back in the 80s, and it's kind of come in and out a little bit, but they've revamped it. All the same teams.
New stadium, Protective Light Stadium.
That's right. Brand new stadium built in Uptown. Yeah. This really cool area, which is driving a lot of growth over there. And I mean, they're just doing some really neat stuff under that bridge that used to be just, you know, dirty underpass. But now they're creating this whole walkway where vendors are going to be. They're going to have a skateboard park, because that's, you know, one of the events in the games. But these are real things that are driving. Shoot, Spencer. I mean, if you look at somewhere like Nashville, the bachelorette party capital of the world, maybe the universe, pretty wild. And everyone, you know, Airbnb business is awesome up there in short term, because people are going there for a weekend. I actually have a friend that was hanging out in Avondale, this kind of swanky new part of town that's gone through a big revitalization. And there was a bachelorette party over there, believe it or not. Wow. So, I mean, there are activities.
It's a sign of things to come.
Absolutely. Yeah. So as soon as the bachelorette parties come, it's time for to bring in the Airbnbs.
Yeah. So I went to school in the mid-90s in Nashville, when Nashville was not what it is today. And this is how it all starts, right? You have buy-in from your city. You have buy-in from the people. And that's what we're seeing in Birmingham, and have seen in Birmingham over the past, I'd say, decade, which has been really fun to watch. And we've talked about Avondale here on this podcast, I think, before, because we have a friend, Kobe Lake, who opened Avondale Brewery back in the day and has since sold it. But yeah, a lot of great things happening. And everybody's asking, one of the questions I get, Hunter, is, you know, what's the next Avondale? You know, I want to invest in Woodlawn. I hear Woodlawn's the next Avondale. I want to invest in Eastlake. Eastlake's the next Avondale. So there's all, you know, we get a lot of investors who are looking for that next up and coming place where their property values can skyrocket. I would say, but most people don't come to Birmingham looking for massive property valuation gains, although we've seen it in certain areas here.
Yeah, that's true. I'd say a lot of folks are attracted to the cash flow, of course, because you've got those lower entry points. You know, people ask me a lot where, and this is a question I get every day, is what kind of returns can I expect? Or, you know, what should I look for? What's a good property here? And you can still find deals, you know, at 1% or above. Again, it's all about your risk tolerance. I think there's at least one other podcast about where to invest some of the cities. So I'd refer you to that if you want to learn more. We won't touch on that today, but
yeah, we've got lots of podcasts on that. We also have lots of YouTube videos talking about all the different classes of, and you mentioned this, Hunter, like we have great, you know, all kind of different classes of neighborhoods in Birmingham. So you can watch those videos and take a look at that.
Yeah. One thing I'll throw out there. I have had recently some people making small concessions, not total strategy overhauls, but in terms of their target percent, a lot of people say that you use the 1% rule, right? Or maybe 1.5, or maybe 0.8 if they're going for like A, you know, B, A and B. But I've had people concede on that just a little bit because of the projected rent growth, you know, and then the stats say that the pros, much smarter than I, say that rent prices are going to go rise higher than home prices this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as demand continues to grow, as homes become more unaffordable, people are going to need to rent. And so some people are maybe taking a little bit lower return on the front end just to get that property, get it under in a good market under their belt, and then let that rent appreciation kind of catch their numbers up a little bit. So just seeing that trend.
Just going to go ahead and tell you, around the country, what we're seeing is incredible demand for rental properties, and it's not going to slow down. Like, it's going to continue to be there. There's more people renting now than ever before. More people will continue to rent. We've talked about it before, but like, you're dealing with a lot of people now who saw their parents go through the 08 crash, lose their house. They want to be very, very mobile. So they want to have the ability to move city to city. They want to work remotely. And so people are renting and thinking that renting is a better option for them, quite frankly. So, all right, Hunter, does that kind of cover all the ones kind of from a Birmingham overview standpoint? Now we need to move into more specific questions.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, that's really the first part of the conversation is, you know, why Birmingham? What do we like about it? What are some of the returns you can see? You know, where to invest? So we cover a lot of that. And then I guess it gets more granular depending on everyone's strategy. You know, we talk about like, what is a good house? You know, what's a good property versus a bad property in Birmingham? What am I, you know, yeah. I get a lot of questions about Section 8 too. So, you know, mm-hmm. things like that.
Yeah, I think, and the way I talk to people about this is from a general overview standpoint, I am going to point people to a kind of steer away maybe from houses that are 100 years old, 100 to 70 years old. So point them towards a little bit newer properties, and I'm going to point them away from two bedroom, one bath houses. From our perspective, there's just not near as much demand. I know you can get a cheaper property, but you're just not going to have the rental demand for a two bedroom, one bath house. And we have several of those in Birmingham. There's plenty of areas that have those. So yeah, so people want to know a good area. They also want to know a good house.
Yeah, I think a lot of people come in just from their experience in other markets too and say, you know, 3-2, 3-2 all day. But the reality is there's a lot of good properties that are 3-1s that have good demand here. I mean, we see them go no different timing than the 3-2s. So especially over in West Birmingham, you know, that's also where you find the older homes. I think you're right.
Yeah, it is.
There's, you know, some risk there just because of the maintenance, right? I mean, there's so many wild cards when you buy a property that old. You know, I mean, you were around when it was built, so you could tell us more about that.
I was around in 1900 when it was built. Yeah, no, I bought many of these houses and they do have a lot more, you know, maintenance that goes along with them. And even if you get one and you completely rehab it, they're good houses, but just know that the older houses are going to have a little bit more pressure put on them. And most of them are not brick houses. Most of these older houses in West End, in the western part of town, are not necessarily brick. So there's other things to consider, like you have to paint the house every so often versus a fully brick house. You don't have to. All right. So other questions people ask, I know I hear this a lot. Some investors come to us with properties and they'll say, how quickly can you rent my home? What do you typically talk to people about when they ask that question?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Great question. I get it every time I talk to somebody, especially when they're in the, you know, in the final stretches or closing soon. That's the question we get is, hey, how quickly can we get this on the market and how quickly will it rent? So, you know, really it comes down to a few different factors. The price we set it at is going to be a huge driver in that. Obviously, there's the market rent for a specific neighborhood because of the diversity here in properties. There's, you know, it's very important to nail that down, know what the market is. That's why we pull the rent reports. You know, even I could probably spitball and say a 3-1 over in West Birmingham is probably going to rent somewhere between $750 and $950, but I still will pull a report, even if I've seen 1,000 of them, because it literally can be street to street, and that knowledge is important. But yeah, I'd say the price is a huge factor in that. If you're outpricing yourself, it's going to sit a lot longer. People try to push it and it just doesn't work. The second would be the presentation. I mean, if you got like a funny floor plan, if it's not clean and in good shape, you know, I get people ask me all the time when I give them a rental report, okay, so you say it's $850, but if I, you know, clean the carpets and paint the walls and, you know, kind of spruce it up a little bit, can I get $950 from it? And I have to come back and say, well, no. I mean, the rent prices we're giving, the estimates we're giving, are based on a good competitive home.
Like, we assume you're assuming you're already doing all that stuff.
Right. So you're not going to magically get $100 just from cleaning it up, and that's the you know. On the other side of it, if it's not clean, if it's not presented well, if you don't have a team that's, you know, marketing it and showing it in a good fashion, then you're probably not going to rent it that quickly. So that's the other piece. You know, what else is on the market at the same time? If you've got a property that has, you know, a carport versus not, and they're priced at the same, you know, one's probably going to rent a little faster than the other. And then finally, seasonality is the biggest determinant there. So we're starting to see that pop down. The average this week was 35 days on market, down from, you know, a few months ago, up in the 40s, 50s. I think we hit a peak of like 55 days over the winter, which is not uncommon. That is what we'd expect, you know, around the holidays when less people are moving. But as you get into the end of spring, early summer, stuff really starts to pick up. People relocate. You got school starting and ending, and there's just a little more drive there. So we, you know, for a good property priced well, you could see that around 20 days or below, but usually, you know, less than 30 around this time of year.
Yeah. And to be clear, I mean, we still rent houses during the colder parts of, you know, the season, but it's just expected, especially, you know, between Thanksgiving and the new year, there's three holidays, not a lot going on. So it might sit a little bit longer. I would say also going back to the whole pricing it correctly discussion, you as an investor need to be very, very aware, and you need to know this number really well. What is the market rent? And so the tendency is just to believe what other people are telling you from a, like if you're buying this from a wholesaler, if you're buying this from a real estate agent, like, or even a turnkey provider, the tendency is you just want to believe whatever they tell you. Hey, this house should rent for $950. If it doesn't, then there's something wrong. Well, you need to find a property manager who rents houses in the area and ask them for the market rent. Because guess what? We've said this before on the podcast. You date your real estate agent, but you marry your property manager. And this long-term relationship will not work out if you come in with like super high expectations and we're having to give you the reality of the situation and it doesn't fit your expectations. And so just, that's my word of advice to you all, is just make sure you're doing your homework on the front end, which is great. Yeah, I mean, because that's why they're calling you, Hunter, is to ask those questions.
Well, right. And I mean, you know, just taking the first quote you get also, I mean, I'd recommend talking to multiple people, because just hearing the number from your turnkey provider or your agent, you know, that's like listening to the first quote from a contractor, you know, and saying, oh, it's definitely going to be this down to the penny. You know, we know that's not true. There's always something that comes up. Right. And I always like to say, I'm not afraid to tell you, you know, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear necessarily. I'm going to tell you really what a true expectation is, what we can do reasonably, how we're going to do it, and then we're going to do it. I'd rather be upfront, because the reality is we're not going to be able to help you grow your business if we make a poor recommendation or tell you, yep, that it's going to rent too high. I want to get this property up and running for you, get it smooth so that we can work on the next one. You know, and I 100%. Can't do that by telling you it's going to rent for 200 more than it will.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're not going to keep coming back and buying more properties. All right. So I think now's the time that we're going to kind of turn the corner, and let's talk about the questions that I think investors should be asking, but that I don't know if a lot of them are asking. So we're going to turn this around. So you call us, you call somebody else in Birmingham, you're asking a lot of these, and these questions are great questions. You should be asking them. But before you call Hunter and start asking him those questions, I think there's a few questions that you need to be asking yourself. And so the first one that I would say you need to be asking is, what am I trying to accomplish? And to me, this is all about vision and goals. Why are you investing? Want to invest? What are your targets? Have you set a 10-year target, a 1-year target? Have you really thought about what you're trying to do? I think a lot of people see an investor, maybe they have a friend that has 10 rentals or 50 rentals or whatever, and they're like, hey, I want to do that, without giving much thought as to why and what does that require. Like, there's a lot of things that go into that. So I think the first question that investors should ask is, what am I trying to accomplish? Followed up with creating a list of targets and goals based on the answer to that question. Like, what am I trying to accomplish and why? And once you figure that out, then you can start saying, okay, well, this is what that looks like. And you start setting targets. I think when people go into this thing without any kind of clear targets, and we see it all the time, when the first frustration comes along, when the first vacancy comes along, when they have a really big repair, they get super discouraged and they quit and give up. Would you say that's true, Hunter?
Yeah, I love the activity or the exercise out of the Brandon Turner's book, the book on rental property investing. It has you go through and, you know, really narrow down your why. I mean, that's so important. And I even challenge folks, you know, a lot of folks have very clear targets and, you know, goals that they want to accomplish. Like, hey, I want to replace my 9-to-5 job income in the next 10 years. Yeah. And they might even know how many properties that they've calculated. That's excellent. Anybody who's coming to me, I know they've done the research. They're ready to scale. I love an investor like that. I would even challenge, make sure you know the big why, you know, like why you're doing that. Is it so that you can have freedom to travel? Is it that so you can do something that you love, you know, invest in other businesses or spend more time with your kids or, you know, retire, whatever that big why is, that's so important. That's going to drive every day and what you do. And then of course, narrowing that down as much as you can, like, you know, goals, what you're trying to accomplish, that helps us too. You know, coming into the conversation loaded and ready to chat about that it's really going to help jumpstart your business.
You know, I've heard somebody say that essentially when you have that, when you create your why and figure out, okay, this is why I'm doing it. If you just keep asking the question why another 6 or 7 times, you'll really get down to the root of it. So if I say, oh, well, I want to have you know, $10,000 of passive income. Why? Well, I want to spend more time with my kids. Why? Well, because I want to invest in their future. Why? Well, I believe life is about legacy. Why? And so you keep drilling and asking that question, why, you really get down to the root of it. Don't just stop at the surface. Why? I think another great question to ask yourself is, where am I currently? Like without a real self-assessment of where you are, I think you will not go far. Like you don't understand how the difficulty or the road ahead if to where you want to go if you don't realize where you currently are. And so the way I like to think about that is, where am I from a capital standpoint, cash capital standpoint, or the ability to get that access? Where am I from a team standpoint, right? So when you start thinking about attorneys, you know, agents, property managers, you know, anything like that, anybody that you need on your team to get this job done, could be even be rehab experts like contractors. Where are you currently with every single one of those? Like, figure out what all goes into buying and owning rental property and then say, where am I from the cash to property management? Like, to me, that's kind of the full circle, everything to get deals done. And in my opinion, this really is all about leverage, right? So we see a lot of investors who want to kind of do it themselves. They're a DIY. I want to be a part of the rehab. I want to be a part of the tenant selection. I want to be a part of making offers on the houses. I want to be a part of finding the people to these houses. And then I want to be a part of managing. So that's if that's you, there's a whole set of questions you need to ask. And then if you're more of the professional, let's say you have a great paying job and you have capital to invest and you're thinking leverage, like, how can I leverage other people's expertise? How can I leverage the cash that I have to buy more properties? Then that's a whole nother set of questions of where are you? But very, very important question is, where are you currently? Anything you'd add there, Hunter?
Yeah, I'd say it's not as important to have the answers to all the questions. You don't need to come into a conversation or, you know, start exploring or make those first steps knowing all the answers. I mean, if we try to figure out all the answers, you know, to how we get to 25,000 doors before we started, we wouldn't be where we are today. So it's okay to have some blanks to fill in, but just to Spencer's point, knowing where you are so that you can start to pursue that. You'll know to spend more time in X area or over here because that's what you need the most. Yeah, I'd say, you know, and definitely knowing your position financially is huge, whether you're going to be leveraging, because some of the most important stuff in this competitive market, if you're not ready to get an offer in less than 24 hours once you see something that you like, and you don't have a good lending partner or, you know, the finances figured out, you're going to miss out on deals.
Yeah, 100%. And I agree. I think that's a great point you brought up, Hunter, because this is, and what I want to say is there's two types of people that I see a lot that make mistakes. Number one is the person that shoots first and asks questions later, right? So they're a super driven person and they just want to act. And without stopping and thinking and kind of thinking about some of these things, that's how I got into it. That's how I started buying rentals. Like I bought the very first rental I bought wasn't just one rental. It was a package of 10 rentals. And some of the houses I didn't even look at. Like I just bought them. So that's one type of investor that gets in trouble. The other type of investor doesn't get in trouble because they don't do anything. They sit there and it's just paralysis by analysis. They just think about things, and they never take the action. They never pick up the phone. They never start the process. So I think, Hunter, what you're saying is really, really smart because it's this happy medium, right? You're not going to have all the answers, all the questions answered, but you should have enough to start moving in that right direction.
No doubt.
All right. Last question I thought of that investors should be asking that follow these two is really, what is my risk tolerance? Like what? And there's a great book called The Road Less Stupid by a guy named Keith Cunningham. And he talks about this a lot. So he lost everything in the 80s. He was a huge real estate investor. He built it all back. And one of the chapters I just finished reading, I'm on the second time reading this book, is a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. And so he talks about the crisis he underwent. And he said, this is something I'll never do again. So one of the questions he loves to ask are, you know, what is my risk tolerance? And that is all based on the fact of, hey, if the worst case scenario happens, what does that look like? And am I okay with that? And so that's really is like, what is your risk tolerance? Some people are going to have a higher risk tolerance because they know that the capital that they're going to borrow or put at risk is not everything that they have in their world. And some people are going to be, you know, so you need to figure out what is that risk tolerance. And then that way, the people that you're dealing with, whether it be one of our brokers who is helping you find properties or somebody else, they're going to understand, okay, these are the properties, these are the areas of town that you need to be looking in based on what we feel your tolerance is for taking risks, right? So if you say, man, I want great cash flow, I want that 1% rule, Hunter, that you were talking about, but yet I don't want to put any capital at risk. Well, okay, you may be looking at an A property or B property. Well, that's probably not going to be the 1% rule. So you really need to know that coming in, and then hopefully your investor agent will be able to walk you through this as well and help you decide the right area and the right properties for you.
Yeah, I mean, it goes investment, right? It's risky by nature. I mean, a real estate investment, it's, you know, maybe it could be less risky than the stock market or could be more depending on what type of property you're looking at. And that's what, just as any other investment, you have to evaluate it as such. And I think what goes along with that is a buy box. You know, so once you know your risk tolerance and really narrowing down a buy box, that is so important, especially if you're going to be connecting with real estate agents, our broker team, you know, knowing what type of properties in this competitive market that really fit your bill is super important, because we have so much inventory that we can send you, and you'll do that analysis paralysis. You'll get into that. It's best to know very specifically, you know, I'm looking for properties in, you know, between C minus and C plus, between, you know, $80,000 and $120,000 in value, that need somewhere between $10,000 to $20,000 in rehab that will return me 1%, you know, or more. And or, you know, you could add it's already occupied or it doesn't need a rehab. Whatever it is, just be as specific as possible. Specific is terrific. And that will help you jumpstart, because you'll be able to make offers a lot faster.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that was a great point. Buy box is really important. Well, folks, this is what Hunter and I want to talk to you about. But I do know, you know, speaking of Hunter, even asked earlier, he asked people, have you ever visited Birmingham? So Hunter, why don't you talk to them a little bit about, I know that you have an investor tour coming up, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to kind of share some of those details in case people wanted to reach out to you and learn more about it.
Yeah, I'd love to. Just to close the loop on the questions, I think those were really great questions, Spencer, that you brought up. And it is, important to ask them yourself. You know, ask yourself those before you jump in and ask folks in the market. But once you know what you're trying to accomplish, where you are currently, the most important is, can you help us do that? Mm-hmm. You know, anyone that you're talking to, if it's your agent, if it's your lender, if it's your property manager, hey, these are my goals. Be very specific and assertive about what you want and ask this question, can you help me do this? Can you help me do this? And, you know, hopefully it's a good fit. So yeah, the investor tour, appreciate you bringing that up. It's something I'm really excited for. Because we talk to so many folks from out of state, the remote investment system is really working for us and for our investors. And we want to keep that going. And so a lot of people have interest in visiting. They haven't set foot in Birmingham before, or maybe they've been here long ago, or they came here, you know, a couple months ago. But there's just so much interest around folks visiting and getting to know the market on a more intimate level. It is a very street by street market. So you can have one street that it looks great and is a great investment area. There's been some rehabs and turns, you know, good pride of ownership, and literally a street over, it's quite the opposite. So we would love to host you. And the goal is here, we're going to get a group of y'all together, you know, both to see the city for a day. We're going to get a bus, take you around all the different areas. You'll see the A, the B, the C, the D, and below. We'll network, we'll have a little fun, show you what Birmingham is all about, introduce you to some of that world-class food that we've been talking about, and then also a chance to network with some other industry professionals. This was a request we got. I asked, you know, people what would make this tour excellent, and you know, five-star experience. They said, let's network with some industry professionals as well to get teams together, right? Build that team so that you can comfortably and confidently invest in Birmingham. So we have some dates set, Spencer. It's going to be the 19th through the 21st. It's going to be a Sunday evening. Come on in. We'll have hotel details and agenda for you. Monday on the 20th, we're going to ride around in the bus. You know, have a little fun in between. And then Tuesday, we'll have a breakfast in the morning to network with some folks and then send you on your way. So if you want, you know, it's a quick 48 hours, but we'll have a ton planned for you, ton of value add. And then, you know, if you want to stay longer and enjoy Birmingham some more, there's plenty to do.
So I know everybody's asking this question because I'm asking this question. What month is that? You gave me the dates. You didn't give me the month.
You got to reach out to find out. Use the code Spencer Podcast. June. Sorry. Yes. June.
Okay. Okay.
19th through the 21st, so we're a couple months away. Good time to book flights. If you're interested, please reach out. There's really only a few spots that we have. I've got a short list of folks that had already submitted high interest. So if you can, email sales@evernest.co. So sales@evernest.co. Just put in the subject line investor tour. I will respond with all the details. We can chat it out and would love to see you out here.
Yeah. So this is not going to be some massive bus tour. This is going to be for a really great group. You know, I don't know how many you're thinking, 10 to 12 people.
Yeah. Something like that. I mean, I would say first level, what we have now with maybe a couple others is 10 to 12. There's also kind of a secondary group, if the dates work, that we could get up to 18 to 20. The bus might fit, you know, 24. So pack it in, but keep it a lot of fun.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, good deal, everybody. Listen, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Hunter, thank you for being here. I've really enjoyed having you on the podcast. And if you haven't already, check out our other podcast, the Evernest Real Estate Investor. We have information about a lot of different markets. Hunter will have you on that one as well. And yeah, we'll be back with another episode of the Birmingham Real Estate Investor Podcast in another month.